This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In this hour, we're going to talk about any number of issues that are presenting in the city. But first, we're going to focus on the French Quarter. You will recall the other day, we had the French Quarter Business League folks in, and they were talking about issues relative to getting an accounting of the economic development district, whereby they worked out a compromise to tax themselves in order to help finance providing additional security in the quarter. And there were a number of things that were said then, and I think Councilwoman Kristen Gisselson-Palmer, who joins us in the studio, would like to address first. So we'll take that issue up first. Welcome to the studio. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Excellent. So, yeah, I would like to, you know, the security within the French Quarter and, in fact, the entire city is a really important issue. And I think everybody is concerned with it day to day. And I think a lot of the issues when we look at the French Quarter are very magnified, right? They're magnified in the fact that in the city of New Orleans, we have about 17 million tourists a year that come through here. The vast majority, anywhere between 90-95% of them, go to Bourbon Street, go to the French Quarter. And we all have to imagine and acknowledge the fact, too, that the French Quarter is a 0.74 square mile. It's not even a full square mile. And within that square mile, you also have over 350 ABOs, like, you know, places or establishments that have alcoholic beverage outlets. And then you add on top of that, you know, 17 million tourists a year that go through there. There's a tremendous amount of pressure. And issues can be magnified there. And, you know, and it takes a multi-tier approach when you look at that security. And we can't really sit there and do knee-jerk reactions to how we respond to it. And I really came to that from my first term in office and representing the French Quarter before and really getting to know intimately all the different groups that were working within the French Quarter, how complicated that was in and of itself. And we were fortunate at the time that there was state legislation that created the French Quarter Management District, which became like a group of all the different groups within the French Quarter. So, for example, within the French Quarter, not only do you have the French Quarter Business League, but you also have the French Quarter Business Association, which represents the entirety of the French Quarter. You also have the Vieux-Carré Commission. You have the Vieux-Carré Property Owners Association. You have the French Quarter Citizens Association. You have, you also have other organizations that are very prevalent and concerned about the French Quarter, such as Louisiana Restaurant Association and the Greater New Orleans Hotel Motel Lodging. And I can go on and on, and these are just very important parts of the French Quarter. So when the French Quarter Management District was created by state legislation, it created where you had one person representing each group, and each group dictates who's on that committee, comes to that committee, and they create, and basically they were formed to focus on security issues and quality of life issues. And I worked very closely with them my first term in office. But unfortunately, they weren't really funded. We tried to get an assessment tax put through, quite frankly, 6-8 years ago, and that ballot measure failed. And so it was really exciting to see in last term under the assessment tax passed. And so coming back into office this last time, it's been really interesting to see how forward-thinking and how organized the French Quarter Management District is, because that's really become the venue that we utilize in order to assess situations and get information out amongst the community. So with all of that being said, you know, we passed a lot of legislation dealing with the French Quarter security issues when I was first term in office. And that also can be a very reactionary approach. We feel that very strongly that I wanted when we came back in was to look at all the different levels of security and where money and funding was going. Because at the end of the day, we can sit there and throw as much money out at a problem, but if it's not properly deployed, we're not fixing any of the problems whatsoever. So within the first several months, we requested information for all expenditures and all different pots of money of all money that was going into the French Quarter. So if you remember, there was money from for the state police. But then there are also entities that basically create their own amounts and their own type of security forces within the French Quarter. For instance, you have the Downtown Development District, which basically goes to the middle of Iberville Street, and they derive revenues from the French Quarter, just from one side of Canal Street to the middle of Iberville Street. They receive basically over $900,000 annually, and part of that money goes to security in the form of rangers within those first 100 blocks, right? So right now you've got one entity that receives almost $1 million a year that goes to quality of life issues in the 100 blocks entering into the French Quarter. Okay, and I think a lot of people can say that we don't feel...
But not all of that goes for security.
No, it doesn't.
Because I know they do garbage pickup, they clean the curbs, the streets, because I sing their praises all the time, because I see them outside this building religiously every morning at 7 a.m. with street sweepers and stuff doing that work.
Correct. However, you can also imagine, though, I think most people would feel that the 100 blocks off of Canal Street are not to the level that they would like to see. And I think...
No, certainly not. In fact, 100 block of Bourbon, we often chuckle because my wife likes me to go get Crystal hamburgers at 2 o'clock in the morning after we've been out, that if I ever get murdered, it's probably going to be on 100 block of Bourbon Street.
Right, right. And so I think we're talking about, are the resources being deployed in a manner that makes a lot of sense? The Rangers are absolutely a great thing within the CBD. But is it something that you need only within the first two blocks off of Canal Street? And would it make more sense to have a highly more coordinated security force?
Sure.
So that's one example. Another example that comes to mind is you have the French Market Corporation, which you and I could probably talk about ad nauseum for a whole another interview. They have a significant amount of revenues that come in, over $10 million a year. Their expenditures are over $9 million a year. Part of their expenditures are actually over $1 million, about $1.5 million, that goes towards their own security and just within the French Market, which is a substantial amount of money when you think about it. In addition to that, you also have, again, this is all separate from the state troopers. And then in addition to that, you also have what the French Quarter Management District created, which was the Security Task Force, which if you talk to folks in the French Quarter, everybody has loved this addition. Businesses, residents alike, we hear nothing but positive results from that. And that has been run very effectively.
And now that's the state police?
No, that's not. Okay. That's NOPD. It's housed within the 8th District.
Right, okay.
And they are constitutionally trained police. They're basically trained within the policies and procedures of the French Quarter. And people would really like to see that expanded, which is why before we even talked about anything else, we wanted to see where all the money was going when we talk about securing the French Quarter.
So when the Business League was on the other day, what pot of money are we talking about? They said there was a tax that they taxed themselves, and it was probably through this French Quarter Management District, I would assume, the Economic Development District.
No.
So how much money does that raise, and where does that money go to from a security standpoint?
Okay. What they're referring to—
Why don't we do this? Let's get to a break, and then we can have uninterrupted conversation, excuse me,
okay.
After that. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back. We're with Kristen Gisselson-Palmer, city council member, talking about the issues in the French Quarter. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. Okay, we're back with Councilwoman Kristen Gisselson-Palmer, who represents the French Quarter, and you were just getting ready to describe the Economic Development District. When we had the representative from the French Quarter Business League on, he was talking about trying to get an accounting of that district and their inability to do so. And so what does that district actually generate annually?
It generates around, it was set up, and if you look at the enabling legislation that again happened under the previous administration, around $2 million a year. I think this past last year was $2.7 million a year. And let me be clear, he's absolutely right. The previous administration did not give them an accounting with this assessment. And also within the there was also a fund that that the CVB also helped collect too, which was a self-assessed hotel motel tax, which is 0.25. That also goes into this fund that is for quality of life issues as well as security. And there was, in the, I want to be very clear, in the previous administration, there was no accounting. So it was very important for when we came in to get accounting and to get actual expenditures that are spent everywhere. So when you look at what Mr. Fine was referring to was the Economic Development District, which is what it states within the enabling legislation, right? It's just a geographic area. But it's a geographic area that's the entirety of the French Quarter. So it's not just the French Quarter Business League that pays into it. It's all the residences. It's all the businesses. Everybody pays into it.
I don't think he ever said that they were
going to be paid into it. No. But with that being said, that's why it's so important to have everybody accountable and to give everybody information and disseminate in the information, which is why I've been working very closely with the French Quarter Management District throughout this entire process, of which the French Quarter Business League and every other organization that I mentioned earlier sits on it, because it's the easiest and most productive way to pass through information and to present on what we're doing. So back in October, we presented where all the revenues have come in from the different sources of money, where they're all being expended. And we basically showed the French Quarter Management District and a lot of the business leaders throughout the French Quarter that $8.7 million annually are going into French Quarter securities. And that is not inclusive of the 8th District, which, as you know, is set up within the French Quarter. So, and we also presented to the group the monthly invoices from the Louisiana State Police. This was in October of 2018. And no one had ever done that before. Not my predecessor, not the previous mayor. We got all the information. The administration worked hand in glove with us to get us the information on what was expended. And granted, they could only give the accounting from when we were in office, all of 2018. And we presented that to the entire group. And we said, look, we're expending $8.7 million a year. And that's inclusive of the state troopers at $5.4 million, the French Market Corporation at $1.5 million, the Downtown Development District at about $673,000 is they're saying they spend on security within the 100 blocks, and the French Quarter Task Force, which spends about $1.2 million a year on that great, you know, they have the app and they have those little vehicles and they do a great job. So the question is, if you have $8.7 million, is that being deployed as well as it should be deployed? And my premise and my thought is no. First off, we can't make any decisions unless we know where all the money is. There's more money, twice as much money, say, is being expended there than the entirety of, say, the 4th District in Algiers, right? And that's does not include...
Well, I bet you there's not a district station that has an $8.7 million
budget. That's what I'm saying.
Budget.
No, they don't. And that doesn't include the district station.
I could tell you in Jefferson Parish, I could finance the 1st and 4th District on the East Bank, the entirety of the East Bank, from a patrol perspective, with $8.7 million.
Correct. So we've also sat down...
Let me just put that in perspective for the listening audience. That would be about 144 officers, including rank, that I would do for that number. And that geographic area of the French Quarter is about the size of one beat, and we have either 8 or 9 beats in a district.
That's why I was excited about coming to speak with you about this issue, because I think you see it in a totally different light.
Well, I think they see it too. They're completely frustrated, because when you begin to look at some of the criminality that's going on in the French Quarter and the lack of enforcement as to any number of issues, the panhandlers, this one, that one, the homeless, people selling Jello shots on Bourbon Street. You know, I told somebody the other day, I walked 3 blocks in the French Quarter. I was approached 7 times. I think it was 7.
Mm-hmm.
In that period of time. It's ridiculous.
It's totally ridiculous.
You got people pulling up with trailers selling barbecue chicken and hamburgers and hot dogs because the city has the forethought to put on these great free events, but they end up leveraging that for their own personal business. And meanwhile, the folks that are in business 24/7, 365, paying all the licenses, paying all the taxes, subjected to all the regulatory, they get all of the ills of business. But these folks get to go set up a shop anywhere they want, and nobody tells them no.
Right. So at the end of the day, you know, and I know it's all about, it's about enforcement, repeated enforcement, and setting a tone in order to allow these types of things not to occur. So when we presented this in October, literally mouths were dropping throughout the room. I mean, they were incredulous that all these different disparate groups combined were $8.7 million within the French Quarter. And thus began the conversation, along with all other, all the records that we had from since I'd been in office, on where the money was going from the administration side, right? That's the administration side. And that started the conversation on how do we then start deploying these resources in a way that makes more sense. For instance, the French Market Corporation spends $1.5 million. They're not tied into the same radio frequency and the radio information that, that say NOPD has or the state troopers have. So if there's a warrant, if somebody crosses over.
Yeah, but they have private security out there.
But they can't. They don't carry guns. They're not allowed. They have no citation.
But this is the problem that, that everybody has to recognize. They each have their own fiduciary or obligation to what it is of the service that they're providing. So they're trying to provide the best that they can with the monies that they have available and still have some significant say-so over the course and direction of what's going to ultimately happen with that entity that they have the fiduciary obligation. I see you shaking your head.
I am shaking my head because it's never that.
Having sat on those boards, I recognize, and from a security standpoint, if I don't control it, it ain't going to happen.
Well, you controlling it with your law enforcement background is totally different.
No, I'm just talking about figuratively as an organization.
I hear you. I respectfully disagree with you. I also sat on these boards and commissions for many years. I've sat on the French Market Corporation before.
Well, that's not to say that it's to the exclusion of what you're talking about. But we have to understand that there has been an inability of the city administration to take control of this issue and deal with it.
Correct. Okay? Which is what,
and that's
my
why you
point.
Have this hodgepodge that you have. But having said that, to date, there has not been anybody, in my view, that has exercised that ability to make a difference. I mean, this just exacerbates the issue to say that there's $8.7 million being spent, and I would love to know where, because. You know, how is it that somebody can walk down a street selling Jell-O shots, pull an ice chest down Bourbon Street, sell beer? I see it every time I go down there. So, this is not what I'm hearing from them. This is what I've seen with my own eyes. Businesses that have cash-only signs on them that the city has never audited. So when you look at the ills of non-compliance and non-enforcement, what makes them believe that any of these organizations, let's say the DDD or the French Market Corporation, would bring about a level of comfort for them that they're not just throwing this money in a black hole?
But they're not, and that's the entire point of this exercise, correct? Is like you need to know where the money is coming in and how it's being expended, because what you just stated, which is absolutely accurate, shows that none of this is working.
There's another leg to that stool, how it's being expended and what's being accomplished.
Correct. And that is what...
And that's the disconnect, because there's nothing being accomplished.
I think it's also a deployment strategy. And I think what this led to is, which is step number two, which is right now the French Quarter Management District is having a third-party assessment of how the deploying of all these resources are going. And that report is due out within the next month or so, which is going to give us a very clear line on how we make these resources better.
But according to them,
utilized.
And you correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe you have it somewhere, they said that part of this deal with the Economic Development District was two officers per block. That was never a contemplation and never an agreement with Nadine Ramsey in the previous administration to deliver.
I am looking right now at the motion that she passed.
We got to get to a break, and we'll look at that when we come back. This is Newell and WWL. We're back, and we're talking to Kristen Gisselson-Palmer, a city council member responsible for the French Quarter, and talking about some of the challenges there. So what you've outlined is that we've got a number of different agencies spending money in security.
Correct.
For security purposes, none of which are aligned very well.
Correct.
If at all.
And to me, that underscores the entire point, the conversation that you've had, the frustration that you see in the different, and they're right to be frustrated, right? We hear it not just through the Business League, but through the French Quarter Business Association. VC Pora, French Quarter Citizen, you hear the same thing, which is what led us to research and analyze to see where is all this money coming from, who's expending money in the securities and within the French Quarter, and do we feel like we're getting our money's worth? And the resounding answer to that is just you said it yourself, and you're just as frustrated, is no, we're not getting the amount of resources for what we're investing. So when I brought this in this very clear and concise report to the French Quarter Management District and to other leaders with throughout the French Quarter, who's ever wanted to see it, and we've released it multiple times, including invoices from the state police, this has prompted a study within the French Quarter Management District. They've hired for a complete security analysis of the French Quarter to see how do we solve where the money comes from and how does it get deployed accurately so people get the results that we need. And that's and so currently right now we're waiting for the report to come out within the next
month or so. They've hired a financial consultant?
No, it's a security firm.
And it's somebody here locally? Or?
No, I think they hired somebody nationally to come in. I briefly met them. They said they've never seen anything like this in terms of all the different disparate groups that are working within security within a very small geographic area. They thought it was fascinating.
No, it's not fascinating. No, I mean, that's one way of putting it, but I wouldn't put it that way.
Right. So I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's good to get an analysis of this. It's good to have this conversation. I do not want to have a knee-jerk reaction in terms of putting any more resources in there. And I think your comments actually absolutely right is that, you know, the biggest concerns we've always heard about when people do self-assessment taxes, is it money raised, you know, basically supplanting an existing arrangement with the money that's supposed to be there, right? Or is it additional to, right? And so,
well, it's designed to supplement.
Correct. And it clearly states it's designed to supplement. It does not lay out, though, how it's going to be expended, right? Now, that was within the CEA between the previous council and the previous mayor. And that CEA comes up in 2020. We have respectfully asked both the state police and the city of New Orleans and the CAO to look at that contract to see how the resources can be more aligned with what we're paying. Because if we're paying a monthly invoice of up to $500,000 a month, we really am not sure that we're getting that type of alignment that we need with the existing resources we have on the ground.
No, and I think it's a healthy exercise to do that for sure in order to try and figure out where you are. But when we talk about like street vendor compliance and things of that nature, is that really a police function?
Or you know, is that and not that a, is that's a great question because it really isn't, right? And it also
so
I think,
what's the impediment of the city administration and others going down to the French Quarter and just taking care of business?
So again, you know, you're not going to like to hear it, but I do think that at some level there's a resource issue. It's not necessarily just with the French Quarter. Yes, we know the French Quarter is the economic backbone of the city of New Orleans. But if you look, you know, I just came here directly from a quality of life hearing where we're dealing with huge areas of blight in Algiers and in New Orleans East, and we don't have enough inspectors within safety and permits and the blight department and code enforcement to even attack all of those issues, right? And so we need to start realigning where our values are and how we expend city resources. I absolutely think there's enough resources. I just think they need to be realigned. But what you bring up is a really good point. So the fund, when the money from the EDD comes into a fund at City Hall, which is under the administration, it goes into Fund 145, which is a French Quarter. That's where the funding goes, and it basically creates the French Quarter Improvement Account, which is also a whole nother fund that the CVB Hotel Self-Assessment Tax goes in. And that's not just for security. It's also for general improvements within the French Quarter. We recently just got, again, from our requests, where that money from that fund is going. And in that, the administration has requested that there's going to be two enforcement officers just designated to the French Quarter to really focus on the issues that you bring up and that you highlight. Because I really believe, and from what I'm hearing you say, I think a lot of folks out there believe it too, is that it's like these little tiny issues that are rampant really affect the overall issues when we talk about crime. It's just like the broken windows theories. If we're allowing all of this little stuff, things can escalate, things can get worse. So we're really excited that this fund is going to be utilized for that. It's also going to about 45% of the sobering center, which is going to be a really important thing. That's going to be that right outside of the French Quarter on Claiborne Avenue. As you know, that's going to be run by Addisey House. That is an issue. We've seen a lot of success in other cities, such as Houston, which and they'll also have their
45% of what?
Of a total budget for a sobering center.
No, but where's that money coming from?
It's coming from the French Quarter Improvement Account, which basically is a self another assessment that comes in from the CVB Hotel Self-Assessment. And when the breakdown of this money came in and where they wanted to expend it, I held it up at budget and passed it through the French Quarter Management District and the breakdowns of it to really ensure that it goes along with the spirit and what these different fundings were supposed to be utilized for. So I think, in terms of having that level of accountability, we've been very proactive to make sure that the funding is being utilized to the degree that it needs to be.
And so do we know when these enforcement officers will be coming on by?
This was approved this past month. So, we'll have to get a timeline from them.
Okay. Got to get to another break. We'll stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL. We're back and we're talking to Councilwoman Kristen Gisselson Palmer. And, I have talked a lot about this culture of noncompliance. And you see
we've
that
heard you talk about the
you see this a lot, in other cities. And I go to other cities to see what they're trying. And
right. And
what they're trying is not helping. The more that you accommodate a noncompliant population, the bigger your noncompliant population grows. And it moves across every silo of the business sector where this notion of noncompliance, of having a little side hustle, a side gig, or whatever it may be, is an unhealthy ingredient in any community across this country. Now, it's frustrating for political leaders because they get characterized as being insensitive when they get intrusive about trying to eliminate certain practices that people are leveraging the community for their own good. And I say this all the time, the individual's interest can never outweigh the entity. The entity is the community. So, the simple things that we're just not focusing on, I have to say, much to the credit of this homeless encampment under the interstate, they now have a city sanitation garbage can next to their encampment. And it was clean. They kept their area clean. They have a garbage can there. I guess they're getting garbage pickup now. But that's not going to encourage this issue to move along. And as I said before, you may or may not have heard that. I'd like to get an 8x8 Morgan shed and go stick it out on a seawall. And, have cocktails there every afternoon and watch the sunset because it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful part of this city. So why can they do what they want to do and other people just can't go stick an 8x8 Morgan shed out there and have an encampment and everybody grab 8x8? Some cities have given homeless people 10x10 squares. And as much as you can fit in your 10x10 square, you are golden. But the rest of the community suffers. They're not golden and they're leaving in droves. And as we try to move this city from a third tier to a second tier city, we'll never get there if we have out-migration of the caretakers and the taxpayers in this area. And that's
look, we're never going to get there if we allow the French Quarter to decay to a degree that we're seeing right now. And let me be clear, it's a beautiful place. And when I say decay, I'm talking about the
general sense.
It's
one of the greatest
places
in the country, quite frankly.
People come here for this space. If we do not take care of it on many levels, then people are going to stop visiting. And we're a very mobile city. And if you look at the trend in tourism across the country and across the world, people are looking for authentic experiences. If we ruin the authenticity of the French Quarter, which we are very much, I think, in trouble of doing, Which is one of the reasons why I fought so hard on the short-term rental laws and to protect the French Quarter. When we focus on things like that, we are at risk of losing it. The things that you talk about, this lawless culture, can be magnified 100 times in a very small geographic area, which is what I brought up when I first went. People don't realize it's less than 1 square mile. And with all of this, with this intense pressure of tourists,
but that's our national identity.
Correct. And no, I'm not. That's fine. But we don't want it to be our national identity if we allow a sense of lawlessness and we have issues that can magnify quickly because of the density of people on Bourbon Street or on Royal Street. Frenchman, you and I can go on Frenchman for a whole nother hour if you want to. I mean, we're not having the security on Frenchman that we need. And that's a whole nother issue. If you look at the amount of clubs that we have and people in the streets, I mean, I think it could be a very difficult place right now. And we really need to give some relief to the business owners down there as well. So we have to focus on this. And I believe that by first doing a complete analysis of all the funding that is put in the French Quarter, that is how we address it. My power as a council member is only in passing legislation and approving the budget. So if I can get all the information, which I have gotten
the power of the pulpit in order to drive accountability with the city administration.
Which is why I am here.
Absolutely. I get it.
And this is
Ms. Palmer.
That is why I have been tracking all this information to get it out in the public realm and really make sure that people understand, like, hey, y'all, is this the right investment? And my answer is no. We're putting out too much money. We're not getting what we need. And let's figure this out. And I'm really excited. The French Quarter Management District has stepped up to the plate. They've hired professional security analysis. We'll get that within the next month. And I really am hoping that this is going to give us the roadmap to how do we then realign the investment to ensure that our visitors are having a good experience, that our business owners are getting what they put into it, and our residents are getting what they've put into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult equation because there is a, for lack of a better term, a seedy side of the quarter that's a draw and a national attention. There's no other place you can walk out of a bar with a drink in your hand and walk down the street.
No.
In fact, in Durango, Colorado, they allow that one night. Halloween night. They have this big bash Halloween night. I used to hunt right out of there, and we'd go to Durango. They would get 50 to 75,000 people to that city in that one night. And when you talk to them, why are you doing this? It's the only night they let us drink in the street. This is great. We can congregate, have a great time. And they think it's the greatest thing ever. Where are you from? New Orleans. We do this every night.
Right.
And they're like, they sit there, are you kidding me? So we have drive-through daiquiri stands. What? And so I understand there's that side, and there's a balance of interest for everybody because you
but
have
even
significant.
With that side, too, we also have to make sure, we also have to appreciate, too, that gives us a lot higher sanitation costs. I don't think we're doing our sanitation as well as we could be in the French Quarter. That contract's up in 2021.
I'll give you an example. Just go to Barcelona, and I think you and I ran into one another somewhere, and I was telling you, I was completely amazed. They have something similar to the French Quarter, lined up with bars, restaurants, real narrow streets. They have specialized trucks that come in there, specialized dispensing units that are there that deal with this. And we're supposed to be the most progressive country in the world.
Right.
And I look at the way that they deal with this. It's like, this is beautiful.
And that's what I'm really excited about, working with the folks in the French Quarter to really try to rewrite that sanitation contract to make sure that it's reflective of that space. Because you're right. I mean, Europe does it 100 times better than we do it.
They figured it out.
Figured
I don't know why we
Absolutely.
Didn't figure it out. But, I mean, they set the bar, and they're not willing to accept anything less. Now, that, you know, my friends and your friends and everybody's friends may not be happy with that, but that's the way it's got to be.
Right.
Because that's the only way you're going to preserve this where it's meaningful for those that want to utilize that space, as you referred to it, a very small one at that.
That's right.
You know, for the greater good.
And it's not rocket science, but we have to get this going.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I just want to clear the air.
We're back. Final thoughts, because I know that you have to get to another meeting, and we appreciate you coming in.
And you know what meeting I'm getting to?
Yes,
Mr.
I'm
Norman.
Better you than me.
It's about bucket drummers.
The Bucket Brigade.
The Bucket Brigade, which is a problem. And it's a problem because it takes a lot of all of our energies from every level. And you would think it's a simple thing that could be enforced. So, no, my final thoughts is this. I absolutely appreciate the frustration from the different organizations throughout the French Quarter, which is why I've been working diligently every month and having meetings and conversations with the French Quarter Management District, which is made up of every single organization within the French Quarter, which is why we're very aggressive in getting all the invoices and all the monies that have been expended within the French Quarter to really say, how do we make sure that this money gets to where it's going to? That has created within the French Quarter Management District a whole security plan, which they're doing a third-party analysis, which will give us the next steps to ensure that any dollar that is expended well. And I want to be very clear. I take it very seriously when people are concerned about transparency and the utilization of public funds. We are consistently asking our public to put forward more money in every aspect, and we need to make sure it is accountable.
Thank you again. Appreciate the time. Enjoyed the conversation. I hope you did, and I certainly hope the listeners did. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.